Thank you, Margaret, and thank you for remembering that as well. I used to have a bumper sticker on my car that said, "She who laughs lasts." It has come to mind in thinking about nonviolence, for I really felt it helped curtail some of my sometimes violent thoughts about other people's driving, or at least my outward expression of those thoughts. How many times a day do I think violent thoughts directed at myself or others? At those I perceive to abuse power? At injustice? Towards oppressive circumstances? All sorts of thoughts that I have to check myself about whether I am actually practicing nonviolence. And what other ways do I fall short of living a nonviolent life? A life of consciously causing no harm. In what ways do my actions and thoughts perpetuate violence, even though it's unconscious? I challenge myself to a lifestyle of nonviolence, and it is a challenge, a real challenge and a choice. It is a life choice and a spiritual practice that requires daily exercise. Nonviolence is not a garment to put on and off at will. Its seat is in the heart. And it must be an inseparable part of our being. Every day I have to tell myself this. Every day forgive myself for when I fall short. Nonviolence really is the foundation of my faith. Reverend Paul Raiser put it this way. He said, "Love is one of the deepest theological principles of our tradition. By affirming the value of love, we commit ourselves to creating relationships of compassion, respect, mutuality, and forgiveness. We commit ourselves to loving our neighbor and to seeing everyone as our neighbor." For me, nonviolence is an expression of this love principle. At the very core of our faith. There are, I think, particular human beings who come to mind with the mention of nonviolence. I'm sure that Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. are two that come forward for most of us. I have added another name to that list. And I didn't realize until, Margaret, you shared your words again, it's also lifting up another voice, the voice of Valerie Kaur. I don't know if she is familiar to any of you. She is a Sikh activist, filmmaker, and civil rights lawyer. Her process in response to Sikh killings after 9/11, killings of some of her family members led her to the Revolutionary Love Project. This revolutionary love, she says, and I quote, is a radical, joyful practice that extends in three directions: to others, to our opponents, and to ourselves. It enjoins us to see no stranger, but instead look at others and say, "You are a part of me I do not yet know." And starting from that place of wonder, the world begins to change. It is a practice that can transform a relationship, a community, a culture. I have been so moved and inspired every time I have heard her speak. A couple of things that she has said have really stood out for me and have served my spiritual practice of nonviolence. First, that the practice of revolutionary love is directed to ourselves. A reminder to me to be gentle and forgiving of myself when I fall short of the practice of nonviolence. And the love, she says, also goes in the direction of our opponents. She intentionally does not consider anyone an enemy, because that term enemy perpetuates antagonism. It confines and defines the relationship to an adversarial one. And this echoes the biblical story of Jesus saying, if someone slaps you, turn peacefully and offer the other cheek. That story is the one that Universalist minister Hosea Ballou wrestled with and eventually came to an understanding that called him to engage what he named Christian non-resistance, the refusal to be violent to others. His writings and those of Unitarian Henry David Thoreau in turn influenced Gandhi. An admonition against violence was summed up in 1950 in The Life of Mahatma Gandhi by author Louis Fisher, who wrote, and I quote, "Satyagraha is the exact opposite of the policy of an eye for an eye for an eye for an eye for an eye, which ends in making everybody blind." Gandhi, influenced by Thoreau and by Leo Tolstoy, who had been influenced by Ballou, developed his philosophy of nonviolent resistance based on the concept of satyagraha, or soul force. Soul force is the force of love, the force of truth, and the force of courage as one engages with the oppressor who uses violence. Gandhi said, satyagraha is a weapon of the strong. It admits of no violence under any circumstance whatsoever, and it ever insists upon truth. But he also wrote, "I do not believe that where there is only a choice between cowardice and violence, I would advise violence." Nonviolence is not passive. It is engaged and active. This soul force, this revolutionary love, the way of peace is demanding. Let us remember that on the continuum with love at one end, the other end is not hate. It is fear. That peace is not an absence of war, but rather the other side of the coin of peace is justice or access to it. So we are called to be justice workers, taking small steps wherever possible. This is living a nonviolent life. For justice is far from passive. It requires great strength, stamina, commitment, and often courage. It demands the compassion offered by love. Being so called requires action on behalf of all those for whom justice is not present, all people, all living things, including the planet itself. If every one of us set our mind on freedom. If every one of us was intentionally nonviolent, whenever possible, we can add to a shift in the world that so desperately needs it. I'd like to offer a prayer that's written by my colleague, the Reverend Jessica Purple Rodella, who is currently serving the Grand River UUs in Waterloo, Ontario. A prayer that seems appropriate as we approach Remembrance Day as well. She titles it, A Prayer of the War Atheist. My prayer today is that I learn to stay a war activist. My prayer today is for each of us, for everyone in this nation, in this world, is that we all learn to be war atheists. I don't believe in war anymore. My prayer today is that I never again succumb to fear. Fear which seduces me to believe that the expediency of violence provides a permanent answer. Fear which clouds my judgments and convinces me firmly that violence is a fix. Fear, which tempts me to justify violence, teasing its response from defensive towards offensive action. Fear, which feeds the lie, allowing us to collaborate with violent euphemisms that bury our need to count the victims of our violence. Fear that misnames collateral damage, friendly fire, and just war. Fear is the ultimate weapon of mass destruction. Fear is the ultimate cause of war, and I just don't believe in it anymore. Yes, I pray to stay a war atheist. I pray that we not be fooled by the lure of a violent cure. Let us instead reach inward healing. Let us resolve to heal the world, to teach the world, and wield only the sword of truth. Let us arm ourselves with satyagraha. Satyagraha, Gandhi's word for his steady, assertive, nonviolent rebellion. Satyagraha, meaning soul force. Satyagraha defeats our fears. Satyagraha claims and reclaims our courage. Satyagraha encourages our creativity. Satyagraha informs our hopes. My prayer today is for Satyagraha, this prayer of the war atheist. Let us lay down that sword and shield. I ain't gonna believe in war no more. And so, with our minds set on freedom, let us dream a sweet dream of peace and practice nonviolence. No easy thing. Day after day, to be conscious, or as conscious as we can be, of the impact of our actions and our words. Both those that we experience outside of ourselves, but also within. May we be gracious and kind with each other, with the planet, and with ourselves. May we practice revolutionary love and nonviolence. And may we practice as we answer the call of love.